He says the 126 texts that he studied were all written in the period during or soon after the supposed existence of Jesus of Nazareth. And Polkovich, the historian, says that had this man existed, somebody surely would have heard of him or written something. You know, somebody as famous as Jesus, but there's no mention. Polkovich said, he writes in his synopsis of his research, he writes, quote, "When I considered those 126 writers, all of whom should have heard of Jesus but did not, and Paul and Marcion and Athenagoras and Matthew with the tetralogy of opposing Christs, the silence from Qumran and Nazareth and Bethlehem, conflicting Bible stories, and so many other mysteries and omissions, I must conclude that Jesus is a mythical character," end quote. He goes on to say that the Jesus of Nazareth was nothing more than an urban or desert legend, like an agglomeration of several evangelic and deluded rabbis who might have existed at the time. Of the writings that he examined, written from the first to third centuries, he found only one book that contained a mention of Jesus, and that was The Jewish Wars. That was a title by Roman historian Josephus Flavius. And that writer claims the whole story of Jesus was completely fabricated. We'll be right back. Historical researcher Michael Polkovich is claiming that Jesus of Nazareth was a mythical character and never existed, which, you know, would make sense. It doesn't diminish, I don't think, the what has been credited as being the words of this humanist philosopher rabbi from 2,000 years ago, but that's a whole different story. Polkovich, the researcher, says even in the Bible, Paul, who is often credited with spreading what would become Christianity, Paul, who wrote all his letters to the various populations in Syria and Turkey, during that time, that Paul never refers to Jesus as a real person. Polkovich writes, quote, "Paul is unaware of the Virgin Mother. He's ignorant of Jesus' nativity, his parentage, his life events, his ministry, his miracles, his apostles, his betrayal, his trial, and his harrowing passion. Paul knows neither where nor when Jesus lived and considers the crucifixion metaphorical," end quote. Well, that's true. If you read Paul's letters to the Thessalonians, or Paul's letters to the Romans, or all the different books in the New Testament where Paul is writing to spread Christianity, you find that that's true. Polkovich also says that that silence from the Jesus character himself is telling, with no personal accounts being written. Polkovich says, quote, "Perhaps the most bewildering silent one is the mythical super savior himself, Jesus, the Son of God, ostensibly sent on a suicide mission to save us from the childish notion of Adam's transgression, as we learn from Romans, the book of Romans." He adds, "The Jesus character is a phantom of a wisp of a personage who never wrote anything." So add one more to Polkovich's list of writers who never mentioned Jesus, and that would be Jesus himself. He goes on, Polkovich, he writes, "Christian Father Marcion of Pontus in 144 CE denied any virgin birth or childhood for the Jesus infant. He says the circumcision of Jesus was a lie, as well as the crucifixion." And this was a Christian person, I guess. I guess that's what Michael Polkovich is writing here. He goes on to say, "Reading the works of 2nd century Christian Father Athenagoras, one never encounters the word Jesus. Athenagoras was thus unacquainted with the name of his Savior, it would seem." End quote. Palkovich also claims even the book of Mark in the Bible, which contains the story of Jesus' resurrection, was doctored later after Mark wrote it. Palkovich says the original booklet, given the name Mark, ended at chapter 16, verse 8, and later forgers added the fanciful resurrection tale. He adds, millions have heard of the Jesus crucifixion with its astral enchantments, zombie armies, and meteorological marvels recorded not by any historian, but only in the dubitable scriptures scribbled decades later by superstitious yokels. Woo! Anyway, this guy, Michael Palkovich's views surely will prove very controversial, it says here in the Mail online, as most scholars do not support the theory that Jesus never existed. Most agree that he was a Galilean Jew born between 7 to 4 B.C. and who died in 30 to 36 A.D. It is also widely agreed that he was baptized by John the Baptist and crucified on the order of the Roman prefect Pontius Pilate. Now, can you imagine the condemnation that this historian, Michael Palkovich, is getting as a result of what he considers to be his research? And if you go to the Mail online, you can see the list of writers from that time. He lists them all. Who never mentions Jesus of Nazareth or uses the celestial title Christ. It's just not there. And again, you take it for what it's worth, but Palkovich makes a point. If there was somebody wandering around, some rabbi wandering around the Middle East 2,000 years ago, raising people from the dead and walking on the water and multiplying food for thousands of people sitting by the Sea of Galilee, and who miraculously rises from the dead and so on and so forth, surely somebody would have written about it. There had to have been an equivalent of a Wolf Blitzer all those years ago.
But the truth is quite opposite. I'm a big fan of young black men. And I'll tell you why. Do you know who kills the most young black men in this country? Young black men. And I'm a big fan of that. So keep buying your guns and killing each other just the way you are.
Tom Metzger, Terabatani, come on down. You're the host of the Insurgent Radio Network, broadcasting live from the bunker in North Central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern, where the elite meet to eat, but mostly drink. Also nearby is Terrible Tommy's Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard, where you can purchase a freshly refurbished weapon of mass destruction for pennies on the dollar, if the price is right. You can reach Tom at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Address your letters and mail to Tom Metzger, the insurgent, just plain old box holder. Good old Tommy will get it.
Well, also, you can call, 559-670-1473 and vent your spleen on any subject you want. And if I like it, I'll put it on the show, and if I don't like it, I'll talk about it. Good morning, white people. You remember that fellow from down south? What was his name? He used to come on. Hello, white people. He used to get on the Stern Show every once in a while. I can't remember his name. I haven't heard anything about him for a long time. I hope he's still alive and kicking, because he got quite a bit of publicity on the Stern Show about race. And today is It's October, right? You got that right. It's the 7th of October. Yeah, you got that right. And here it's before noon in north central Indiana. You know, I play that anti-Christian, or not really anti-Jesus, because if he wasn't around, how could it be anti? I play a lot of that stuff. And the reason I do is because it's true. But I'll tell you, I play it more when I get up like I did this morning, like I do every morning, and go to shave and take a shower. And I got radios going on in every room and got them to different talk shows. Yeah, I do. I have a whole house set up here where I, in the morning, when all the new stuff's on the talk shows, on the right wing and left wing, not the major media, no, not the major media, but the left and right. And I've got radios running in every room, in the bathroom too, and I go into the bathroom and I go to tune the radio down the dial, and I hear nothing but preachers, yappity, yappity, yappity about saving my soul and all that stuff. And then I go over and I listen a little bit to Breitbart, this right-wing outfit that hates racists. And this morning he's got this guy from, where is he from? I don't know, Mississippi or someplace. He's got a big beard and he developed a duck call that works good, I guess. I haven't been out calling the ducks lately. I've got nothing against the ducks. I'm not going to shoot a duck. There he is with his big beard on and everything. Of course, you can't hear that on the radio. But he's gone on and on and on about the Jesus story and all that, and how you got to be saved and all that stuff. And that's the only thing that can save America. And I sent a note over to Breitbart, and I said, if you keep having these religious fanatics on your radio show, you're going to lose a hell of a lot more people than you'll gain. Because here's a guy that's probably got a fifth grade education, which is not necessarily the answer, but still, he gets on the radio anytime he wants, gets on national TV. What's his claim to fame? He invented a duck call. Well, of course, that's preachers. Most preachers are even worse because they haven't done anything significant. Most of them don't even have a degree in science or anything like that. But yet they're on there all day long here in Indiana, yappity, yappity, yappity about plain bullshit. And it's something that can drive you crazy. But you just don't listen to it. You just go quickly down the dial. Down the dial. Get me away from this freak. Oh, yeah, we're getting our big horror stories about this hurricane all over the place. Do you notice how every radio station and network is going on and on and on, and they're making crazy-ass statements, like if you're within 20 miles of the coast in Florida, you're going to die? I mean, I heard people say that, the crazy things, the worst storm that there's ever been, and that's bullshit. We had a storm a few years ago that was stronger than this. It was a 5. This is a 4. And anybody that decides to stay on their property and protect it and hang out, they make them look like a foreign agent. They're crazy. Well, sometimes they might be a little off, but I don't see anything wrong if a guy wants to stay on his property and there's a reasonable chance that he's going to survive. Well, hell with everybody else. But that's not the point. They're spreading, as they always do, the fear factor. The fear factor is one of the main weapons, if not the main weapon, in the arsenal of the people who rule over you. The ruling class have to keep you afraid and fears. What do you think the media is all about? Every day it's something new to be afraid of. You got to learn to laugh at this stuff. You can listen to it, but laugh at it and let them know they don't control your mind. You're not afraid, you know. If a hurricane comes through here, well, I'll do what I can. I mean, I got the bunker down here. I can get down here in the bunker and be pretty safe. But if not, I might die. So I die. I mean, fear is to be feared. Even Roosevelt was right about that. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. That is a very amazing statement. Yeah. So don't let these guys on the Weather Channel and all that drive you crazy just so you'll listen to their stupid lies about everything else. Some guy was on the radio this morning, probably a troll on the right wing station, saying that Hillary's going to stay out of the campaign for 18 days and she's so sick she can't stand up and all that kind of stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that's another troll putting out bullshit, so you'll put it out and make yourself look stupid, because the guy didn't have any evidence. They kept asking him, well, what's your evidence of all this? He never had any evidence. He never spoke of any evidence. So don't fall into the trap of these tinfoil-hatted right-wingers and left-wingers, but there's more in the right wing that come up with the crazy-ass stories just to keep you off balance and make you look like a fool where nobody will listen to you. Tell them, is that so? Do the old Zen thing to them. Is that so? Is that so? Is that really so? And turn around and walk away. I was listening to an author a couple of days ago, was being interviewed, Ed Klein, and he was a press secretary, I think, for Richard Nixon. I know he was working with Richard Nixon. He's got a new book out. I think it's called, where is it here? Blood Feud, yeah, that's it. And it looks pretty good. I mean, if you want to know what you should know anyhow. The Clintons and the Obamas, it's more than a political rivalry, it's a blood feud. They're all allies by circumstances, rivals in fact, enemies by personal animosity. New York Times bestseller author Edward Klein pulls back the veil on the most unreported story in Washington, the jealousy and antipathy that divides the two most powerful Democratic families in the country. With unparalleled reporting and access to most sensitive sources close to the principals, Klein gives an insider's behind-the-scenes view of the mutual loathing and hatred between the Democratic standard bearers. Wow. In Blood Feud, you'll learn why Michelle Obama's political ambitions could rival Hillary Clinton's, about the deal why Bill Clinton supported Barack Obama for re-election and why he feels betrayed. Benghazi, how Barack Obama set up Hillary Clinton to take the blame. How the one and only White House dinner between the Obamas and the Clintons was fraught with tension and contempt. The Oprah factor, how she was used by the Obamas and stroked by the Clintons. How not just Bill and Hillary, but Barack and Michelle lead largely separate lives. The power behind the president. It's not Michelle, but her best friend who sets the administration's policies and personnel. The secret Hillary Clinton is keeping that could make it impossible for her to be president. Jaw-dropping revelations, compulsively readable in the famous Klein style. Blood Feud will be the most talked about political book of the year. Well, you might wait a while till you can buy it used or cheaply. It's $19. A lot of us know that a lot of this stuff is already known and true. Of course, we don't care really. We hate them all. Whether it's the Clintons or the Obamas or the Trumps or these vice presidential candidates. I hate them all. Yeah. Sorry, boys and girls. I know you got a lot of you people have some love for some of these people, like Trump and stuff like that. But in the end, you'll find they're all criminals. They're all, some of them are war criminals. And the corruption is they're up to their neck in corruption. So I take the easy way out and say, I hate them all. So it's sort of like when a smart-ass Jew comes up to me and says, what do you say about the Holocaust? And I say, frankly, Charlotte, I don't give a damn. I'm not going to argue about it. I didn't do it. Our country really didn't do it, even though they could have some guilt. So why argue with a damn Jew about his so-called 6 million? We know it wasn't 6 million. And now we know, too, that there was a plan by the Zionists, the radical Zionists, to kill off thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of non-Zionist Jews. And that's the secret to, that's the elephant that nobody wants to talk about. That much of this killing was spearheaded by the Zionist Jews. So anyhow, I've talked about that before. I haven't heard many people talking about it because everybody's afraid to talk about it. We got to keep that a Christian job of killing Jews. We can't have Jews killing Jews. If that ever got out, what could we argue about? Frankly, Charlotte or Jaime, I don't give a shit anymore. I get sick of your whining and yapping and caterwauling and using it as a weapon to rob me and everybody else and rob the American people, rob the white people, rob the black people. They rob them all using those kind of excuses. Of course, they've done that all down through history. If you'll read the Old Testament and even the New Testament, they were playing these games a long time ago. And probably when they came out of Babylon and even when they were working in Egypt. So, and you know, that's that. You know, I like to listen to my books rather than read them. I get tired. I tend to want to go to sleep when I read books. I start to read and I read about 3 pages and I go to sleep. But I've been reading books all my life and books are good. But I prefer and I get more out of the audio type. They're really easy to listen to and I think easier to understand. So when this book comes out on audio, I'll be getting it. If you know places or sources where you can buy these audio books quite cheaply and get books like this, I would appreciate you letting me know. Because I can take one of these audio books and record off of it and send you a CD. How about that? Be real crooked here like the Jews usually are, or like the pious Christians are. Well, I spoke too soon. I see that there's 290 of these Blood Feud books available at an online price of $2.99. And that's a hardbound book, hardcover. Now, if you want to send these to a prisoner, like one of our POWs, you can tell the company to tear the covers off before they send them in, because you can't send hard covers into the prison. So just, or if you've got a book you want to send a prisoner, hardbound book, just tear the hard cover off, which doesn't interfere with what they're saying in the book, so you can send it on in. So $2.99, that's pretty good. I think I'll get that. Or get it and read it for yourself and then tear the covers off and send to one of your favorite POWs, like I will do. Well, happy days. I found a book company that sells that hardbound book for $2.99. And they are BAM, BAM.com. Looks like it's a good source for books and they're cheap enough that you can send them to prisoners. But always remember, hardbound books must have the hard covers removed. So that would mean that you would need to order them yourself and then tear the cover off and send it to the inmate. So, but that's not that big a deal. However, shipping on a book like that is, I think, $3.90, so that takes it up a little more. But it's still a good buy. Well, here's some interesting news. Vladimir Putin banner unfurled on Manhattan Bridge. Wow. Brooklyn, a giant banner of Vladimir Putin was mysteriously hung from the Manhattan Bridge on Thursday. Posts on social media showed the banner, which featured a picture of the Russian president above the word peacemaker, hanging from the bridge around 2 o'clock. Multiple police officers responded to the scene to remove the 20 by 30 foot banner as helicopters circled overhead. But traffic was not stopped on the bridge, a witness and the NYPD spokesman said. Seems to me like they didn't need so many officers just to take down one sign, witness Arthur Ricardo Ferreira, who was visiting from Barcelona, said in Spanish. The banner's appearance was first reported by Gothamist. The Department of Transportation referred all inquiries to the New York Police Department. New York Police Department officers removed the banner and took it back to the Fifth Precinct, the spokesman added. There were no arrests, and the investigation is ongoing. They're looking for the dirty Russians who put up a peace sign about Putin. Can't have that. Oh, Obama, he's not happy with that. Well, here's some more interesting news from the Big Apple. Possible heart, human heart, found in the trash can by the New York Police Department. A man reached into a garbage can to pull out a discarded potted plant and found what the police say could be a human heart. 67-year-old man found the suspected heart in the trash outside the Reese houses on FDR Drive and East 6th Street at 11 a.m. Wednesday, according to police. When the man picked up a box containing the plant and looked inside, he saw it also contained an extracted organ, police said. We should have run down to the hospital and sold it to somebody. The find was it beating? The find was first reported in the Daily News. The heart was taken to the medical examiner's office, and they tried for 4 hours to revive it. The medical examiner didn't immediately respond to the comment. He was flabbergasted, man. What the hell's going on? Well, let's look at the mailbag here. I got a note came in today from David Tate, the youngest member of the Order Bruder Schwagen. Just a short one to thank you for the $25. It is well appreciated. I can't recall if I have sent you any deposit slips lately, so here are a few. I wrote a few words for the book some of the folk are writing, working on for Richard Scutari. I thought I'd enclose a copy for you. Not my best work, but hard to know what to say after all these years. With my brooders all in the federal system, I haven't been able to converse with any of them personally for over 3 decades and have only seen bits and pieces of things they've written. I still had a copy of the interview you published with Richard, and so it gave me some insight, although I haven't read anything he's written since. No other news to speak of. My sisters have finished putting Dad's body to rest. We are discussing whether or not they'll bring a series of photos my nephew put together on Dad's life, as well as ones from Mom's memorial. When next they come to visit, while they didn't allow misery prisoners to go to funerals, they do allow family to bring films of funerals and whatnot. Seems like a whole generation of folk have moved on, and Dad was the last holdout. Thinking back, Dottie Miles went before Bob Miles, Betty Butler before Richard Butler, and my own mom before my dad, and even your dear lady before her time. No, you don't go for the man in the sky. I know you don't. But it's like our ladies have been going on ahead to make a place for their men. Supposedly, October is an anniversary for this monument to the insanity of America, and they spent last week raking the gravel and replanting potted flowers for some of the bigwigs coming in from the governor's office. Supposedly, the camp will be in lockdown, and the one CO was telling us that they were threatened by a new warden if any of the staff members could say anything untoward, that they would find themselves in a warden's office the next day. We've seen it for years, these bastards putting on a different face for the outsiders, but in this case, they aren't putting on their good face at all. They're putting on a completely false face that never existed before. I hate police state wage slaves. Well, that's it for this one. Take care of yourself, and give my best to any of my brooders and any of the folk we both know. Okay, now, he wrote an article up, as I did, for Richard Scutari. Let's see if it's long. See how long it is here. About a page and a half. I think I'll read it for you. It's going to be in the upcoming book. Among my true comrades of the Holy Order of the Brüder Schweigen, Richard Scutari is my brooder. I personally knew the least, yet have always held in the highest regard. I first observed Richard at a large identity movement gathering at the Old Covenant Sword in the Arm of the Lord Survivalist Camp that once existed in northeastern Arkansas on Missouri-Arkansas border. I was with a contingent from the original Aryan Nations Church from northern Idaho, and Richard was holding martial arts demonstrations at the CSA camp. I was told that Richard was a guest as we were, but worked there as an instructor on occasion. I was impressed not only by Richard's ability, but also by the way he carried himself. Unlike many wannabe movement leaders, Richard was unpretentious. He wasn't putting on a show to impress anyone, and he left me with no doubts as to his character. He was a genuine man. I was not alone in my assessment, as other men who were later to become our brooders in the order were also present and made similar observations. We recognized Richard Scutari as a kindred spirit from that very first encounter. Looking back, it was a very short year before the order fell to the prison. My youthful desire to know Richard and other brooders better was hindered first by my cell system and then by our arrests. While my brooders, the Tacoma 10, are being tried in Washington under the RICO Act, I was facing trial in Missouri for the murder of a highway patrolman, an incident of which I am not proud, and Richard Scutari was the last Corps member on the run. We all worried for him from afar, hoping that he might elude the enemy forever, but it was not to be, and Richard joined us in the martyrdom of imprisonment. It has been over 30 years since we fell to the prison. Under old law federal sentencing, prisoners could expect release after serving one-third of their sentence, and as such, Richard and our other two brooders who remain in the federal system should have been released years ago. But just as reverse discrimination and anti-white bias have become the norm throughout America, they're a much greater reality of everyday prison life, a condition that has only worsened under the racist anti-white administration operating out of the White House. Having served years and then decades in the monotonous man-made hell of prison, my brooders and I have done enough soul-searching for several lifetimes. Having come from the Israel identity backgrounds, Richard and I were both concerned with the several gaping plot holes in identity, the most glaring being its British Israel origins, which go all the way back to Oliver Cromwell, who used a Jewish fabrication of the Anglo-Israel myth of the lost tribes as an excuse to bring the previously expelled Jews back to England in the late 1600s. The Jewish myth of the lost tribes is available for a $12 donation to White Cross Ministries, P.O. Box 188, Kodak, Tennessee 37764. As we left identity behind, Richard and I took different paths. He gravitated towards European paganism, and as a Christian separatist, I delved deeper into the roots of primitive Christianity. I suspect we could enlighten one another on a myriad of rediscovered truths we each have found, and could argue for weeks on end our choices of pagan versus Christian. Yet I'm also inclined to think that after all these years, we will agree on a wider range of personal and racial principles and standards than others might believe, foremost being the very reason we stood together so many years ago, the cause so simply expressed its 14 words. Among the movements that support our cause, many hold opposing and conflicting viewpoints, unreconcilable differences in religion or on history. Richard and I stand on opposite corners in this regard, and there are things he believes that I may strongly disagree with, and vice versa. Yet we also recognize the common ground others overlook, ground where we can make headway politically and nationally. Where do we agree? Barring religious nonsense, the rituals, the rigmarole, and the universalist horseshit that has supplanted the faith of our fathers, what principles and standards of personal behavior, mores, honor, and duty do we share? What standards of law, justice, and mercy do we agree upon? White men and women have a genetic mind, our instincts, if you will, which are reflected in our culture and society, an intended nature of the Creator instilled in we, His Aryan children. To the unnatural mongrel mind, the confused mind, the white culture is abhorrent because it rejects what is unnatural and perverse. For example, sicknesses like race mixing, homosexuality, free sex, with no regard to mate or family, these are the products of a mongrelized mind. Such differences are what make us unique. The establishment touts all the great cultures of strangers, yet has suppressed Aryan culture to the point that today the children of our race have been left cultureless, without history and without future. Our nations are threatened by racial extinction, not just because of the brown tides of mongrelization washing over our lands, but because of the vast majority of our race has embraced selfish Jewish materialism and is incapable of imagining the results. What results? Americans would denounce the evils of Islamic terrorism, yet fail to recognize that every one of the Islamic Arab states are mongrelized, graveyards of our race, lands of racially dead bastards who claim the once white boneyards they reside in were always theirs, and who now threaten today's white nations on new battle lines? On such examples, Richard and I agree, and so should the rest of our race. We have given our lives for the cause, as have many others. And yet, despite the decades, the lives, and the money wasted, our folk have nothing to show for it. Not a single viable political party, not a single bastion, not a single nation, not a square foot of land that may be called ours. I've always felt that Richard Scutari and our other brooders have given up far more for our cause than I have. Yet despite giving all, Richard remains an unbroken warrior, has earned the right to be remembered and to be heard among our folk. Listen to his words. And that's from Brother David Tate, another soldier in the battle. And it's interesting, he mentions too the fact that soldiers don't always agree. Generals sometimes fight each other and everything else, but they are able to win the war. So that's a nice letter, and I did send him off a sympathy card for on the death of his father too, from all of you. And here's a note from our good buddy Stray Dog. We lost a good peace officer last week. He shot himself over a hooker's alleged sexual contact allegations. A few years ago, a disabled white woman missed her stop while riding on the bus and found herself in Niggerville. She was promptly raped by two niggers, then set free. The woman reported this to the police, and the police did not even write a report on the incident. Let none investigate the rape. IA is still investigating sexual contact between hookers and Trenton PD on duty inside the PD building. Something's brewing. Stand by. Yeah, they're coming at cops any way they can, and of course a lot of them deserve it, but a lot of them don't deserve it. Those are peace officers. I call them peace officers when they're honest, good police. They're not interested in harassing everybody. There are not many of them, but there's some out there. Well, you know, here's one from a voice from the past. Do you happen to remember this? It's from a famous person. Someone who you should all know. Now listen to this. This was in a campaign that happened about 4 years ago.
Senator Clinton, this is the same person who has taken more money from lobbyists than any other candidate, Democratic or Republican. Taking more money from drug company lobbyists and insurance company lobbyists. This is the same person who says she's voting for the Columbia trade deal. Turns out that her top advisor, her top strategist, was working for the Colombian government to get the bill passed. This is the same person who spent a decade with her husband campaigning for NAFTA and now goes around saying how she was opposed to NAFTA. This is the same person who took money from financial folks on Wall Street, and then voted for a bankruptcy bill that makes it harder for folks right here in Pennsylvania to get a fair shake. Hillary Clinton's out there, you know, like she's out in the duck blind every Sunday. She's packing a six-shooter. Come on. She knows better. That's some politics being played.
I can't understand why he would say that. He loves the Clintons so much. But how soon the public forgets, right? Ha ha. Tommy doesn't forget. Yeah, Tommy remembers everything, except what day of the week it is. Let's see, here on my hate crime list, there's reported hate crimes increase on the University of Missouri campus. A lot more. I wonder who that might be. Anti-Semitic. Hate crimes rise in Los Angeles because nobody speaks English. These were three of the hate crimes highlighted in the 2015 Hate Crime Report, an annual study released September 29th by the Los Angeles County Human Relations Commission. And then there was a small cross set on fire, racial slurs spray-painted on a mobile home. That was, I don't know quite where that was at. Davies County Sheriff's deputies are investigating a possible hate crime overnight in which a racial epithet was spray-painted on the victim's home. Let's see, would it be nigger, or would it be mestizo, spick, kike? No, kikes don't live in mobile homes. No, that can't be right. Okay, let's see. There's more here. Cambridgeshire police back campaign to support hate crime victims. Going to put them right on welfare. Hate Crime Awareness Week, which takes place from October 8th to October 15th, aims to tackle offending, encourage reporting, and raise the public's information on this hate crime stuff. Man, we got to do something, man. Some police boss tells racist attack as he urges hate crime victims to come forward, please. And if you didn't have a hate crime committed against you, dream one up. Yeah. Police and crime commissioner urges hate crime victims to speak out. There's not enough of them around. We can't find them. They're not talking. Here we go, back in my old hometown again, Fallbrook, California, where I spent over 40 years. And recently there was three Hispanic mestizos knifed to death, a Negro, and they're on trial. So it says, no hate crime charges for the two accused in Fallbrook slaying. Trio will face accusations that the crime was racially motivated, a judge ruled. Wait a minute. Trio will face accusations that the crime was racially motivated. But then you turn right around and say it's not a hate crime. This thing is getting so fucked up you can't even understand what they're talking about. I think my friends that are still in Fallbrook have been very effective at turning the blacks against the Mexicans and the Mexicans against the blacks. That's been the best program we've ever put on. Here's one. Man yells anti-gay remarks, pushes the victim to the ground in West Village. Up in L.A., I guess. Wow. Here's another one. Couple suspected of bribing Olympia hate crime victim. The Olympia Police Department arrested two people Wednesday after they allegedly tried to bribe the victim of a downtown Olympia stabbing. That's sort of strange. Next one's five freed without charge in hate crime murder probe. Five teenagers arrested after a Polish man, this is from Ireland, was killed in a possible hate crime, will face no further action due to the lack of evidence, police have said. Oh, wow. Hate crime crackdown as National Week approaches. Hertfordshire police will be promoting the report it, don't ignore it message throughout Hate Crime Awareness Week, which starts on Saturday. Isn't it interesting that the more they talk about race and the more they talk about solving the race problem, the more race problems, so-called race problems, they are? The races are more divided now than they've ever been. It's wonderful. Keep doing it, all you liberals, or whatever you call yourself, even your conservatives, too. Keep yapping about race, and you'll have more racism than you ever had. Here's one, police to tackle underreporting of hate crime in the county. So they'll have to dream up some. Then we got one here, zero tolerance to hate crime launches in Devon. I think that's England. The more they talk about race, the more racism there's going to be. The more they talk about bullyism, bullyism's gotten big. I heard a gal from on television this morning, I think she was on C-SPAN, talking about how horrible it is since Trump running for office, bullyingism on the grounds of the schools are growing by leaps and bounds. just because Trump's running. Kids are beating up on each other. You know what I think? The parents at home are talking about it and say, Trump should beat the hell out of them. Yeah. They're just going crazy. This gal, I thought she was going to have a heart attack on the show. Bullyism is just totally out of control. Forget the Nazis and the Klan. It's bullies. Here's the Gallup polling organization. 10 new hate crime fact sheets. We've launched 10 new fact sheets as part of the Hate Crime Partnership Training Toolkit for the LGBT. They're just going wacko, man. They're going wacko. Let's see here. Just keep doing it, boys. You're working for us now. We don't have to do much. We don't have to do anything. Just stand back and let you do it. Bolton DeSafe's Hate Crime Awareness Showcase and Grants Launch. I don't know where the hell that's at. This is an opportunity to view the work of community groups that have previously delivered hate crime awareness projects in Bolton and will include something. You go to one of these meetings and there's only got to be half a dozen people in them. You know, big headlines. Big meeting tonight about the racists. Big meeting tonight about bullying. And you go to the meeting or you watch a news clip and there's nobody there. Being you is not a crime. Targeting you is. Oh, that sounds like one of Morris D's statements. Hate Crime Awareness Week is set to launch tomorrow, Saturday the 8th of October. And agencies across the county have one simple message. Tell us if you've been beat up by Tom Metzger. And we'll take care of it. The awareness campaign will run for a year. Hate crime campaign launched by the police. The latest hate crime awareness campaign has been launched by West Yorkshire Police. Wow. They're really getting down to it. Do you think there's going to be less love crimes that they call hate crimes? I don't think so. There's going to be more and more and more until total rebellion breaks out among the races. And it don't make any difference whether there's a minority doing it because the minority are going to run it. So, you see, boys and girls, even when you think we're losing, we're winning. Racism's everywhere. Every newspaper, every television show. Racism, racism. They're doing our work for us. And every time they keep creating new race bullies that never thought about racism, never thought about bullyism, but they got the idea off the television news and they want to have fun. Yeah. Here's some more candid conversations, experiences with racism. Racism exists in all forms everywhere and has shaped the world we live in today. The newest episode from AOL.com's Candid Conversations series tackles this problem. Next is protest against Fox correspondent accused of racism for Chinatown interviews. Dirty racist. Fire that guy. And the councilman Peter Koo said in a statement passing off his blatantly racist television segment as a gentle fun not only validates racist stereotypes, but bullying. I had a guy shove my head in my chop suey the other night. Yeah, these terrible people, these racists do things like that. Fox News, Jesse Walters is sorry she offended someone. If you were upset by his amazing racism. Activists blast O'Reilly Factor, Chinatown segment is racist. Fox News anchor Jesse Walters apologizes for any offense caused by racist Chinatown segment. Of course, you know that they don't mean it. And the Chinaman knows he don't mean it. He just says it to get off the hook. Everybody's always trying to get off the hook. Pretty soon they're going to start saying, yeah, I did it. I'm goddamn glad I did it. And I'll do it again if I want to. The bullying anti-Asian racism of Fox News Waters world. boy, this thing's going, this story is going on. It's taken wings. The difference between racism and colorism. Ah, there's a new one. In this country, because of deeply entrenched racism, it's everywhere. We already know that the dark skin is demonized and light skin wins the prize. Well, that's true even among blacks. Light mulatto, look at all the light mulatto women on TV advertising now. All these gals that are look pretty white except they're mulatto and they got light, real light brown skin. And now you got a lot of white girls that are coloring their skin, I think, and pretending to look mulatto. So everything's getting a little screwy. It's sort of interesting. TwitchCon diversity panel deluged with racist chat. A streaming panel addressed diversity at TwitchCon last weekend was attacked by racism in its chat with insults, slurs hurled at the speakers. It's a goddamn shame. Racist objects, a painful past still present. This is New York Times. The video above is full of blatantly racist images and objects. No children's books that infantilize African-American vintage kitchenware. Oh, I used to, my mom and dad used to have those salt and pepper shakers with Uncle Ben, the old house nigger, and his nigger mammy. All the time growing up, we had those sitting on our breakfast table. You know, I never thought much about race at all. I mean, I looked at them all the time, but I never thought really racist. It wasn't something that was in my world. Now, people are not going to believe that. They'll say I'm lying, but it's true. There were no blacks around here. We didn't give a shit about blacks because they weren't around. So if you had a black mammy and a black guy on your table with salt and pepper shakers, nobody thought anything about it. But now, man, goddamn, get that stuff off the table. I'm going to report you to the governor and the governor's people and the police. Being reminded of racism is destroying pro football for whites. That's good. See, we're winning. The more we can destroy pro football and pro basketball, where all the niggers are on there and all the white people are worshiping them like a bunch of gods, and the white girls are just spreading their legs like mad for these big old 7-foot-tall niggers. So we're destroying pro ball? Yeah, well, find something else to do, you dumbass shit, chicken shit white guys. Police racism, oh my God. Georgia officer fired for using nigger word in Facebook messages. A police officer in Georgia was fired after sexist and racist Facebook messages were discovered by a supervisor snooping around on his Facebook. McIntosh County deputy. You're a naughty cop, man. You shouldn't call them niggas. You don't have any privacy. You don't have any independent thought. Even when you're off the job, you can't say nigger. No, don't do that. Norfolk councilman says KKK's racism lives on in the justice system. I knew it all the time. That Clarence guy up there in the Supreme Court, he's a member of the KKK. That's why he never talks, never has an opinion. He's a member of the KKK. Disregard that he's black. That's got nothing to do with it. City Councilwoman Angela Williams Graves told the attendees at a recent NAACP luncheon that modern racists have taken off their hood. Well, I think I only had a hood on once or twice in 5 or 6 years I was in the Klan. Okay. They better get rid of them, all of those sheets. They don't need them. You get in a fight like they did. I saw a deal on TV once in the news back in the 80s, and these guys, the Klan, were marching down there in Texas someplace, in Austin, I think, and the leader of the thing got attacked, and they wrapped him up in his sheet and threw him all over the damn place. You don't want to go into a street fight wearing a sheet. You're out of your mind, man. diversity, equal racism, the continued push for political real ideal of diversity is in a reality a form of soft racism, if that means of determining whether or not, okay, well, that's true. I've said diversity is supposed to mean racial separation. They've turned diversity into inclusion and race mixing. So this person is sort of right, you know? Okay, let's see. When racism reappears, how can a campus show it has made any gains? Well, you're not going to make any gains, dipshit. A report of racial slurs at the University of Missouri at Columbia has renewed tensions over race relations there because the blacks want to be free to rape the white girls. Don't you interfere, you goddamn racist. Boy, the internet is absolutely full of stories about dirty white people being racist. From one end to the other, internationally and everything. Yeah. Wow. It's white people beating the shit out of niggers on every corner, don't you know? This is my closing story and the one that makes me happiest. I'm ornery as hell. I love it. This is Friday. Freya's Day. We're a tribute to the ladies. Jewish institutions in Florida were bracing for the worst as officials issued dire warnings about Hurricane Matthew, a major storm that's poised off the state's Atlantic coast Friday morning and was expected to ravage to the central and northern Florida coast over the next day. The National Hurricane Center called Matthew, which was wreaking havoc through Cuba and Haiti, extremely dangerous to Jews, and it warned it could still move inland and drown more Jews. The storm was packing gusts of 70 miles per hour and heavy downpours across the coastal communities in Florida as it moved parallel and to just overshore on the east coast of Florida, where the wind's blowing all the goddamn yarmulkes off the Jews and they're pissed off. They're praying for the great Jew God to save themselves. We are just bracing and the winds are picking up, quote, Daytona Beach Mayor Derek Henry told CNN. A great number of our residents have taken heed to our warnings and the Jews are going underground. We saw 15 of them in a canoe headed for Cuba. The 550,000 Jews of South Florida, I'll bet you there's twice that many, joined their neighbors in hanging hurricane shutters to shield windows from flying objects, as well as staying home from work and school. Well, they like that. In many cases, the weather is preventing communal religious gatherings where we can worship the Jew God because of the dangers of braving 100 mile per hour winds predicated during landfall, predicted. Quote, we are seriously ground zero here in Cape Canaveral. Hunkered down, lights flickering, winds are crazy, it's the end of the world, said Sandy Wilk on Twitter. Many synagogues are shutting for the Shabbat as the storm is predicted to rage during the time and could potentially leave dangerous mess in its aftermath. Might even wipe out a synagogue. The entire state is practically in lockdown and many are being told to evacuate the coastal areas. Wow. The proprietor of the Zach Baker Kosher Restaurant in the hip Wynwood section of Miami posted a Facebook photo of staff boarding up the storefront on Thursday morning. The Miami Jewish Federation rescheduled a Thursday night community memorial service honoring the Israeli President Shimon Peres, organized together with the Consulate General of Israel in Miami. I hope that son of a bitch drowns. In Miami, the Aventura Turnberry Jewish Center and the Tauber Academy announced closures on Thursday, October 6th, and Friday, October 7th, in effect their daily minyan in the morning and the afternoon. An announcement on their webpage said the leadership would continue to monitor the storm and its aftermath because we know it's anti-Semitic. It was it was composed by Putin of Russia. It's a weather war all over again. He knows how many of us Jews are down here in Florida. We know what he's up to. Well, Temple Israel of Greater Miami on the mainland and Temple Beth Solomon on Miami Beach closed during the week. They're not talking to God during the week. Also telling their congregants they would open for services on Friday and Saturday, weather permitting. Well, I'm afraid that's out. Farther south, congregation Bet Shara in Pinecrest erred on the side of caution, telling congregants through social media that there would be no Friday evening Shabbat here, but Saturday morning Shabbat services would take place as usual, providing the synagogue has electrical power, which, according to my information, the Nazis are cutting the wires. Shabbat services, but Saturday morning, Central and northern coastal areas were expected to bear the brunt of the storm. I think that's where more of the Jews are at. Evacuation orders were given for those residing in coastal areas starting around Palm Beach. Well, that's about it. I got to bring you the important information of the day. And I'll be back, I guess I'll be back Moon's Day. So you take care, and if you know any Jews in Florida, have them come to your house and take them in for a while. Okay, 14:05.
Make them really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle. And this'll help things turn out for the best. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow. So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath. Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a lie, but death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep on laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side. Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Pressing that machine, you know.
what is necessary to those who do not know what horror means. Horror. Horror has a face. And you must make a friend of horror. Horror and moral terror are your friends. If they are not, then they are enemies to be feared. They are truly enemies. I remember when I was with Special Forces. Seems a thousand centuries ago. We went into a camp to inoculate some children. We left the camp after we had inoculated the children for polio. And this old man came running after us and he was crying. He couldn't see. We went back there and they had come and hacked off every inoculated arm. There they were in a pile. Pile of little arms. And I remember I cried. I wept like some grandmother. I wanted to tear my teeth out. I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I want to remember it. I never want to forget it. I never want to forget. And then I realized, like I was shot, like I was shot with a diamond. A diamond bullet right through my forehead. And I thought, my God, the genius of that. The genius, the will to do that. Perfect, genuine, complete, crystalline, pure. And then I realized they were stronger than me because they could stand it. These were not monsters. These were men, trained cadres. These men who fought with their hearts, who have families, who have children, who are filled with love. But they had the strength to do that. If I had 10 divisions of those men, then our troubles here would be over very quickly. You have to have men who are moral and at the same time who are able to utilize their primordial instincts to kill without feeling, without passion, without judgment. Because it's judgment that defeats us.